we thought we would do the following, and I'll just go over it. So the next 45 minutes, from about 11:45 to 5 minutes, we're going to have what we call a family time. And what that is we come together, let's say, on a dining table, for a meal. It's good to, I'm not saying this so that you put down yourself. I'm just saying, in principle, I've been talking to Esther, in the future, when we have our kids coming together to eat, one thing we're going to tell them, and actually it starts with us, is that when we eat, you're going to put your phones down so that we can talk to one another. And we can ask how one another is doing, like what you've been up to, right? And so in the same way, this is what we want to do. We should put our cell phones down. And so for the next 25 minutes, we just want to open to one another and hear from one another what you've been enjoying. This morning, the young people, you all are going to stay here. And so I think you've already been given notice from last night, right? So you could share from us from 1 John chapter 4, or you could share with us something that you read this past week that you enjoy. For the rest of the saints, something that you've enjoyed. A lot of us, we've been kind of reading the life study or listening to it. And so feel free to overflow from this time, okay? So it doesn't have to be high. It doesn't have to be profound. It's just family time, right? Anyone can speak, right? When we eat together, Benjamin, he makes some weird noises. He's talking. We don't know what he's talking about, but it's okay, right? So no one's going to judge you. So really, saints, we do encourage you to all participate. And for the sake of time, I think we should just start with maybe like a minute each, okay? And then after that, from 11:10 to 11:30, we felt it would be good to hear some testimonies of how some of us were brought to know the Lord in our salvation, basically our story. I've been meeting with, here for a while, and actually sometimes we never have an opportunity just to hear one another's testimonies. I don't want to put people on the spot, but, some of the older saints, it's a shame. I should just, come and ask you all, but why don't we just use this opportunity that we have this morning, and I think it would be a real good encouragement, just to hear, your testimony of the Lord. I'm looking at Brother Hart. I went to his wedding. I was really, really, really young.
He's really old?
I'm confusing the picture, but there's a picture of going to Brother Neil and Sister Mia's wedding, and I was like very young. This was at the firehouse. It's a long time ago. And, all these years, we've been together, and I don't know if we've ever really shared our testimonies on how the Lord brought us to know Him. So,
if I text you on how it came about.
You can text me and I'll read it for you. Anyway, we just want to use this time, 20 minutes, and again, we'll try to keep it short. And then after that, we'll have 25 minutes of prophesying over the past week's morning revival, and then we'll end about 10-15 minutes about the review of last Saturday's church-wide blending meeting that we had here. There we released some burdens that we want to get into for this year in 2015. So just for the sake of the ones who weren't able to attend, we just want to strengthen that and then go over that once again. Okay, so without further ado,
all right, some announcements. All right, so a couple announcements. So one is right now, actually, we're going to start a new believer series for some of the Chinese-speaking saints. They're going to be starting a time for people that are like gospel friends, newly saved, things like that, to be able to share with them and kind of give them a good, solid foundation. So, through the week, if you remember and it comes up, just say a little prayer for them, and this is really encouraging. Hopefully, we'll have enough gospel friends on the District C side that will be able to maybe carry something out like this in the future. So, it'd be good to just continue to pray for that time. Also, next week, there'll be a corporate meeting, so if there's any, scheduling, things like that, you need to take care of, make sure that you take care of that. Next week will be corporate. Another announcement is college conference, so that's coming up. So plan that, mark that in calendar. You can't do anything that weekend. It's already booked for you. February 20th is the date, and then the deadline is February 8th. So don't be late. Just do it on time. So if you think you don't know if you can go or not, just register, and then Laura will work it out. So just register. And then just a reminder, we'll go again. We're going to probably keep hammering this again and again, is that we're going to try to corporately read 2 life study messages of Exodus a week. So it's not very much. 2. Actually, our whole meeting, we talked about we're going to probably read. Not probably, we are. We're going to read 1. The Colossians are going to read 1 by themselves. And then 1 we're going to read at the whole meeting. So at least if you forget to read, you'll at least read 1. So you'll accomplish half your goal. So, we just encourage all the saints to get into this. And it'll really change your life. It'll change your appetite. It'll change your day. It'll change everything. If you get into the ministry, it really opens up. Or even open up, I think, your habit of even wanting to read the Word. So we don't want to overemphasize and just say to read the ministry. The Bible is the most important. Obviously, we should read that every day. So read your Bibles and get into the life studies. And then I just want to reiterate of this family time. So this is something we're not going to do just today. This is going to be something we're going to start doing regularly, because we're going to be hopefully all reading these life studies, and hopefully this could be a time we can flow out something that we've enjoyed from the life study reading, also maybe your Bible reading. You know, a lot of times we get kind of stuck on thinking, oh, we can't share what we enjoy from our Bible reading because it's not, like, totally connected to that morning revival book. And so we really want to open this time that, you know, just share whatever you have. It could be from the Bible, it can be from life study, from maybe some other ministry reading you're doing, maybe an experience from the week. But this is a time to really open up for any fellowship that you feel that would that you want to share with the saints. So we want to encourage the saints to start sharing anything, because sometimes I know myself, sometimes I just didn't read the book, Morning Revival. I have Morning Revival, but not the book. So, but I have something to share, but and then I in my own concept too, sometimes I feel like, not really in the book, so I'm not going to really share, you know, this type of thing. So we want to get that concept out of our head. We can share the prophesy meeting. They didn't have, in the early church, they didn't have a Morning Revival book. You know, they just shared. They just shared what they had in the Bible, or whatever the speaking was. It wasn't really part of the Bible yet, but, you know, Paul was speaking, and then they would edify each other just through their mutual fellowship. So hopefully we can bring this practice back up in the church life here. Amen. So now it's family time. All right, well, I'll share. I'll start. So, family time. I've been reading a little bit of Life Study of John. I've been picking that back up since I've been having to read now Life Study of Exodus. I'm like, oh, maybe I should get back on my track of my original Life Study goal that I had, quite lacking. But something I enjoyed from the Life Study of John was that the Lord presented himself as a vine, something so available, so reachable. He didn't present himself as some, like, huge tree that you have to climb up and you have to, like, get the fruits up there, but actually something very low. Vine is very low and accessible. A lot of times in the Bible you can see all the other people wanted to make him high, wanted to make him king, wanted to, like, do all these things and make him such a high person, but he came as a lowly man. And so I really enjoy that, you know, our God is very lowly, but at the same time kingly. But this is all for the purpose that, because he wanted man to be able to partake of him. And he made himself so accessible.
Amen. So this week I've been reading the book, The Glorious Church. And one verse really stood out to me, which is in Revelation 12:11. It says, "They overcame him, which is the devil, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they love not their soul life, even unto death." So the part I really enjoy is the part, "They overcame him because of the blood." Many of us, we always make the mistake whenever the devil, the Satan, comes to tempt us, we want to use our own strength. We want to overcome him because of who we are. But who we are is nothing. We're really weak. And pretty much every time we get defeated. And the enemy will criticize us, he'll condemn us, he'll make us wallow in whatever situation we're in. Whatever it is, our sinfulness, our anger, whatever. But we need to stand on the blood of the Lamb. And this is something that we can't ever graduate from. I can't be like, oh, I'm such a spiritual giant. I don't ever need the blood anymore. I can just come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, we need the blood no matter what stage we are.
Amen.
So, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the blood.
Amen.
Oh Lord, I get a message in our home meeting. It is called "You Word Grace." Actually, our natural thought about grace is that when God does something for us, this is grace. But actually, the grace has two folds: the outward grace and the inward grace. The inward grace is that God wants to work Himself into us.
Amen.
So many times we just pray, Lord, please do this for me, do that for me. But actually, that's not grace. Just like mentioning this morning revival, it is, if God does something for you, it is only a living God, not the God of resurrection. So, grace, the inward grace is that God works Himself into us.
Amen.
Oh Lord, thank you for this revelation.
Amen.
So I want to do you more.
Amen.
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 Yesterday, Kyle and I, we were not at a meeting, but I heard that the meeting was great. And, Kyle, before we went to bed, he showed me a Facebook of the young person. He said, you should look at this person's Facebook. But you know that I usually don't check Facebook, but I was very encouraged. She said that she enjoyed yesterday's young people's meeting very much. And she decides that this year, I don't know how she said that, this year, she will love the brothers, love the saints, and see the church life.
The sister, the young people's sister, who left the post, certainly, so how about who is this? Who is her companion? Share? Start? You don't need to share but whatever she says, but how you enjoy it.
Okay, so I have something to share with you because I came back to China during the spring break. So I didn't go to the church for 2 weeks. Then I feel so bad after that. After I come back to America, just like, you know, like I got messed up and I can't focus on everything. I don't know why, just because the church gave me a sense of peace. And because I was a very aggressive person, so I tried to find the Lord. I tried to find the feeling in my heart, but I can't. The more I try hard, the more I can't even close to Him. Then the sister, she told me, just stay here, and He will come and find you.
Amen.
So sometimes we just put ourselves in a very high situation. Just, we think we can do everything. We can, if we make effort to do that, we can do everything. But actually, we are human. Sometimes we will feel so tired. And we can do something, everything we want. But Lord, if we believe Him, if we touch Him, He will drive us to everywhere we want to go. And the church life is very important.
This past week, school has been stressful. I had this huge project to do for English, and I am a procrastinator, so I am like, there's this war in front of me, like, do it. I don't want to do it, but you have to do it. So I will sit at my desk, and I'll be just be like, I have to finish this. Like, I'll go day by day, and I have to finish this, and then I pray, Lord, give me strength to finish this, just for today. And then the next day, I'll do the same thing, and then I got the thing done. So,
normally, I try to walk to school, but when the weather gets too cold, my dad drives me. Whenever my dad drives me, he always tries to get me to call in the name of the Lord. But normally, when it's like 6:45 in the morning, I'm normally not in my spirit. Sometimes my dad would be like, come on, Ethan, you have to deep inside. You know, Lord Jesus. And sometimes I just don't feel like doing it. But then there was just one drive we were on our way, and then somehow we stopped at every single red light. I don't know if my dad did that on purpose. I was just like, okay, I'll just do it. Then, I don't know, but I just felt like I felt a little better.
What actually helped was he would actually just make me read the words to him while he was driving. So no matter how I felt, he just forced me. He said, just read to me. So it became a ritual. But it just had to be that he has the Bible, and I would just read to him. But it was actually very wise, because by doing that, you know, most of the time I didn't want to do it. But there were some times that those words really got in. It was very good. So he said, drive you more. Read the word to him. He said, I can't read right now. So drive me. I want to read the word to him.
And so I just started Romans 12:2. I don't know if it's in the Martin's Bible or what, but it's being transformed by the renewing of the mind. That's when it proves what the will of God is, that which is good and well pleasing and perfect. And I enjoy that transformation of the metabolic process that changes us by adding some new element into our being and discharging the old element. God's economy is just to work Himself into us that we may experience such a metabolic process of spiritual digestion and assimilation that produces a gradual intrinsic change in life. And I said, amen to transformation. God transforms us daily.
Amen.
So recently, I'm actually getting to read the Bible in Christina every single day. It's actually one of the best parts of my day. Because every time that she calls me, it's just like, oh, I can have release from my homework. She always calls me when I'm running on my treadmill. Always calls me. And actually, in the past week, I actually broke my treadmill because I was so surprised that she called me. So every time she calls me, it's just so enjoyable because finally I can finally touch the Lord after all my homework, after the entire day of school. And so actually this week, something that I really enjoyed was 1 John 4:8. He who does not love has not known God, because God is love. And I just enjoyed that God's love is so complete. It's so everlasting. Once we take of it, there's nothing else that we need. And I really enjoyed this.
Amen.
So I appreciate it from the first life study in Exodus. You know, every time you read it, the Lord speaks to you in a different way or something stands out. And now we're going back to message one again this week, so we'll have another opportunity to reread it again. But what stood out to me last week was that, you know, in this first message, Brother Lee is contrasting between Genesis and Exodus. And there's a lot of different differences. But what stood out to me was, you know, we know Exodus is a salvation to God's people. And in particular, it was a salvation of two aspects. In Genesis, it primarily you see the salvation from idolatry and rebellion. But in Exodus, he uses these two words. He uses slavery, and he uses bondage. You know, the children of Israel, they were under slavery, under bondage. And those two words, for some reason, really kind of touched me. Oh, I'm out of time already. Because we have to realize, saints, when we're in the world, sometimes there are certain things in our flesh, right, that causes us to be enslaved or to be under a certain bondage. We can even be, you know, even good things in the world, like we need to have a job, but sometimes that job could somehow become a pharaoh, become enslaving us. So we need to be free. We need to be free, and the only way to be free is by eating. Appreciate Christ. He's a provision. He's a supply. He's the salvation of God's people. To be free from Pharaoh, so that we can go into the wilderness to enjoy Him, hold a feast unto Him, and to serve Him.
I'm glad Lucy enjoys our Bible reading because I actually enjoy our Bible reading too. But Lucy and Kathy just, you know, every day, appreciate their flexibility. Actually, I just call whenever I'm available. But it's actually a salvation to me because a lot of times, you know, I'm caught up in my schoolwork or work or whatever, and, you know, it's nice to just be able to get into the Word, and it's encouraging to hear their enjoyment. I pray to read with them and just get in deeper into it. We read about like 5 verses a day and get into the footnotes. And, you know, it's really nice to just be able to pray with them. It's a supply for me, too, actually. And one verse I enjoyed is 1 John chapter 4. It says, "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." Just freshly reminded that even though we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We have the Lord's life in us, and that's why we can, you know, overcome.
Something that I've been enjoying from my reading with Sophie and Amy from the Law of Revival, it was the matter of the different practices need to be revised. So I think oftentimes, depending on how long you've been in the church life or how long you've been in the church life, things can get old pretty fast. Even just the same thing as in life. Like you eat like a certain food, but if you had it all the time, it gets old. Anyway, I was catching myself feeling really frustrated with my attitude towards my Bible reading and towards my looking going through the one-year Bible. And so, anyway, reading that portion really helped, and then it just kind of instigated a prayer. Every time I started sensing that I was feeling like this was a routine or something like a religious practice, I said, "Lord, revive this. Revive this aspect of my spiritual pursuing." Maybe I was reading a particularly long footnote. It's like, I want to read that more. But Lord, revive my reading. Or if, you know, I was going to the intervals meeting and, you know, young people are strange. So if Lord revives my family, or if it's Friday night and I have the choice, do I stay in my bed or do I drive down to Piscataway, up to Piscataway, Lord, revive my church life. Revive my participating in the church life. And another quick small thing is that I had this was kind of my cry to the Lord from Monday through Thursday, and then I was like, Lord, this is a really tough week. And then I had my weekly call with my prayer companion, and that just like lit up my whole evening. And that was going to be the whole week worth it. Like, all the struggling, and then getting to pray for prayer burdens and people, and then that made the whole week worth it. So if you don't have a prayer companion, find one and pray with it.
Amen.
Something that I enjoyed from this book I'm reading called Christ the Reality. It's really, really good. I would recommend it. I'm rereading it. And I want to share this portion that talks about the difference between a meal offering and manna, which I thought was really interesting. Since manna is a gift from God and a meal offering is a present to God, manna is for our satisfaction, but the meal offering is for God's satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Manna is for a life in the wilderness, whereas a meal offering is for a life in God's dwelling place.
Mm-hmm.
Another important difference is that manna never constituted worship to God. God never asked people to worship him by presenting manna, but God did command his people to worship him with the meal offering.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, the meal offering is quite sufficient to constitute worship to God.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting thing I thought was that with manna, there's no need of human labor. But to have the meal offering, there is much need of human labor. We must labor on the good land by tilling the ground, sowing the seed, watering the plants, and reaping the harvest. We must care for many things in order to obtain the fine flour. And even after the harvest, there is the grinding and the baking. The meal offering requires much more labor than the manna. Sloppy ones cannot even get the manna. There may not be much labor, but you must rise up early and go out to the camp to gather it. God is merciful, but he is not so gracious if you are sloppy. God will send the manna outside the camp, but he will not send it into your bedroom and into your mouth. You must rise early, get off your bed, leave your bedroom, and go out to the camp to pick up the manna. The meal offering. There is some labor for the manna, but there is even more labor in the meal offering. And that's our laboring in the word during the week. Genesis chapter 16, it begins with Abraham. Before he was given to Abraham, at 86 years old, he was given to Ishmael. And in chapter 17, it begins with Abraham being 99 years old, and it's a whole lot of period again. And so there's a space there, 13 years old, but you don't know what the rest of it is, but you can kind of assume that Jehovah was not a series of just a reminder, because actually, Abraham represents the natural self, the natural energy, right? God had promised Abraham something, and then he went and tried to do it himself. He went to try to produce a seed, and when God was Abraham. And as a result, his fellowship with God was broken for 13 years. So what I appreciated, actually, was when Jehovah appeared again to him, he all submitted to God. And so just a reminder, I think, I was just praying for, save me from my natural energy, my natural doing. God may know you as the all sufficient one and be able to do it.
So maybe we could conclude our family time here, and then we'll move into our next session. So, who's going to start?
What's our next section?
Oh, so how's it start?
This is Lindsay.
Yes.
Testimonies is our next section. This section.
Oh, Jesus.
Amazing.
There's one thing that is very critical for me is I never know what day I was baptized. So I just know is in early August 1992. So I, you know, when I go to meet the Lord, I will ask. but I do remember, you know, that many probably know when I started my church life. It's January 24th, 1997. That's 18 years ago, yesterday. And I enjoyed it. Since then, you know, I really enjoyed the church life. So I praise the Lord. The Lord give you to me. And this morning when I'm receiving the hymns, the first hymn, 323 or 322, saying many years weary.
Yeah.
That's really my experience. Before it, that actually it's not after my I got baptized. It's actually after my enjoy the church life, I really have this feeling. You know, many years I'm weary in the world, but I really thank this spirit of life. And also the second hymn we sing is 520 something talking about the fountain in Yiling, right? Now Yiling actually has 12 strings of the fountain. The fountain, and it showed us this string actually has a corporate aspect. Without the few brothers and sisters, I don't really be able to enjoy the Lord so much. So this year, I really have a hard desire. I really love to learn with you more. And so we can pursue the Lord together.
When I got saved, I was very young. We always think coming from a good family is a blessing, right? But I came from a very dysfunctional family. But now when I look at that, I really thank God, and I really know that was a blessing. Because every situation you have, when you have God, always look at it very positive. It doesn't matter if it's dysfunctional or it's a good family, it's always a blessing. Because I was in that dysfunctional family, I was able as a heart to seek out for God. So when I got saved in as a high schooler, first year of high school, I got saved right away. Because I was seeking love. You know, because I was so lack of love, but so I was able to open to God so openly. So I got saved the first day of the beginning of school for the first meeting. And you think that it would be like a gospel we have now? No, it was like only a couple sisters, and the oldest one is only like college. We don't have like, you know, spiritual, you know, brother, you know, counsel, you know, tell you about, you know, what who God is. No. But the spiritual is so strong that the minute that we see the dawn, we even didn't talk about what God is or what He does for us. The spiritual itself, the spirit itself, what is all of us. And I was crying over there.
Wow.
And from that point, I know I got saved. Because I know that, you know, I experienced something is extraordinary. And after that, and then the sister, it's all about your high schooler. And then the more elder one tell us, okay, let's repent. So we repent right there, you know. And then after that, I was so happy. But when I look back all my life, I realize God is so faithful, because every step of my life, God preserved me.
Amen.
So when I in high school, God preserved me, because he put me right into the church life.
Amen.
With a bunch of high schooler sisters. And we take care of each other. We don't have anybody to take care of us. We're just a bunch of high schoolers, we take care of each other. And it was so strong that we kind of grew together. When we after school, we grew together to study Bible. And we go as a group everywhere we go. Church, we go to the meeting of church. We do everything as a group. And that came in out of all the danger. You know, you are a teenager. You want to try everything. You want to do everything. You try to identify somebody. There, God put preserve me so I identify with all the sisters. Because I see a role model from there. Because the third year sister know how to take care of the first year sister. And that I was so impressed. So I like to be with them. Because why? Because they really know how to love you. And that's to grow all the people, we all together. Then after that, it's so funny that, you know, in Taiwan, we have very stressful life. You know that. You know, study so hard because if you don't get into college, you have no future. You have no career. That's what everybody tells you. So you have to go into college. And so we study like crazy, day and night. You have no idea. We had school like 12 hours. After 12 hours, you have to study. And then so everybody's so concentrated because it's like, you know, 100 people and only one get in. That kind of specific. So, and everybody was just put on a very stressful situation. But for me, I have church. So we study together. And it's so funny that year, every brother and sister all found out. I'm the only one getting into the college in my locality. In my district. And, you know, I don't feel like I'm so lucky that I got into it. At that time, because I had to go from the north to the south of the island. And it was such a familiar territory for me. But still, you know how God preserved me? Because that locality has a very strong college church life. And when I get into the college, it was not the top one, it was just like average one. But brother and sister there are very pure in heart. They are already into church life. They are not like, you know, I come here just for my college to get a degree. No, they are there. So that there is a very, so I all the good colleges on the north, you know. But I am so happy I didn't get into all that college. I get into this North Island college that has very strong, you know, church life. So I got preserved for a year in the church life. And so we have morning study, you know, Bible together, and we preach gospel, you know. So I remember, you know, college life in here is study, you party a lot. For me, my college life is study and reading. There's only two things in my life. But that really preserved me because I don't have time to get into other things either. So I don't practice what's going on in the world, in the whole world going on. And so when I look back, so you have to believe that your life is destined by God.
Amen.
And you have to need a strong faith that every step you take, whether you know it, you know, consciously or unconsciously, at the time you make a decision, you have to know God is with you. And every situation God brought you into, He has a purpose.
Amen.
For you, there's an experience. But not for your purpose. And that's what we learned by Moses. God equipped him, it's not for him to identify with Jewish culture. He has a sense of he identifies with different people.
Amen.
Even he has great high stature. He's well educated, but he doesn't identify with them. He identifies with God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, I was so lucky that I always identify with God's people.
Amen.
And I treasure God's people more than other people. I don't mean like, you know, they are not, I don't treasure them, but I put a lot of value in the brothers and sisters in my life. That's why I like to hang out with brothers and sisters. That's why I like to, you know, fellowship with them, so that, you know, it strengthened my faith.
Yeah.
So I think that's how God prepared me until this day that I still can be in the church.
Amen.
Yeah.
I just want to share real quick. Same happened to me too. Kind of testimony. See, the Lord is preserving me. Has preserved me. If I backtrack everything, you know, that I actually went through when I was a kid, you know, I had too many accidents. Since I was a kid, a truck went through my feet. And that happened. So I've been thrown by the, I was in the farm, the cows, the cord got me from my leg and it was bent, so my feet it lit in the air and then went up. I mean, I should be dead by now. And I had so many, I had a few accidents in the car. I can't have so many things, right? When I was young, when I went through my life. But you see, the Lord knew. The Lord knew what was going to happen to me. Amen. So He preserved me.
Amen.
He preserved me. He preserved you also. Right, like I was telling my kids, even though we belong to the Lord, and we are, you know, we can't play with fire. You know, if you play with fire in the world, you get burned.
Yeah.
So we have to keep ourselves separate. See, we have to keep ourselves separate. Like, for example, when we can, after you kids was, you know, really have a kind of friends in school, you know, and most of them are worldly kids, you know. That we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful because, you know, the influence is very strong. The enemy is very smart. Very smart. I don't have to get to him. But that's why I always encourage my kids to read the Bible, pray before you leave the house. It's so important because He's going to cover us. He's going to cover us. He's going to be there with us. But we can't play with fire. We don't get burned, you know. If we like to do things, you know, that other people like to do, you know, we have to be very careful. But it is very important that you say, God, I want to read this. I just want to read this. It's in Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:22. This is all this for everybody, for John, for us, but thank you for the loss and pursue righteousness. It's very important to walk through righteousness. We can't do it ourselves. Yeah, the Lord can do it for us. Faith, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. I just thank the Lord for your service and the house of the church.
Amen. So I guess now we're going to transition to prophesying. With the C4E Bible. Amen. So this week is we come to the vision and experience of Christ in His resurrection. Right? Third part. Living in resurrection for the reality of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, so
There's a lot. How much time do you have? 20, 25? Okay. So I guess I'll share about 5 minutes. Anyway. Yeah. There's a lot. To be honest, I didn't really get into it this week, but I was looking it over yesterday. I'm like, wow, this is... So I guess maybe we could go through the outline, and then I'll just share what I really enjoyed. Amen. So, Roman numeral 1, I guess we're going to read it all together. 3:3.
The resurrection, we must see and honor all truth concerning Christ's resurrection.
Amen. 2.
The Spirit is the reality of the Divine God, the reality of resurrection, and the reality of the body of Christ.
Amen. 3. In order
to be in the reality of the body of Christ, we need to be absolutely in the resurrection life of Christ.
Amen. Yeah, so I was just looking over these points. I was really impressed, actually, that in the Bible it tells that, what's the verse? Right, in Psalm it says, "You are my son, this day have I begotten you," right, after God raised up Jesus. And, you know, Jesus is already the Son of God, so why does he need to be begotten? It's because, right, Jesus, he was begotten by God to be the firstborn Son of God, so he could be the firstborn, right, of many, right? So, we're he's the firstborn, and then we're the many brothers, right? We come in right after. So, praise the Lord for his resurrection, you know? It was like, I don't know, I was just really impressed. Because I remember there was a brother talking about it, and then I didn't really get it. And then I looked over and was like, wow, amen. That's really, you know, this is truth. You know, God was begotten in resurrection. Jesus was begotten in resurrection. You know, and resurrection is a life force and lifeline of the divine economy. Wow. And, you know, this is, the resurrection is all realized in the spirit of reality. So praise the Lord. Yeah, those are some pretty solid points. Roman numeral 4. In order to live in resurrection, we must know, experience, and gain the God of resurrection. Let's see that again. In order
to live in resurrection, we must know, experience, and gain the God of resurrection.
Wow, we must know, experience, and gain. You know? Wow. Like, wouldn't you want to know the God of resurrection? You know, don't you want to experience him? Don't you want to gain him? You know, that's... And I was reading this and something... The word that really stuck out to me is gain, you know? We can gain the God of resurrection. I was thinking, you know, a lot of times, you know, one aspect of the Lord is that he's a person. He's a living person, right? And that's something that we really treasure, right? I really enjoy the Lord. He's a person, you know? He's God, but he's also a man. He's a person. But, you know, but you can't really, there's no term as really gaining a person, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can know a person, you know, let's say get it first. I know get it, you know, if you can experience it. I guess, you know, if I go to the gym with get it, that's like an experience, you know, you go lifting, yeah, that's kind of an experience, but no one really can say, yeah, I gained get it. But, you know, that only comes from the Lord, you know, as a God of resurrection. You know, he's more than a person. Yeah, he's a God of resurrection. He's the Son of God. You know, he is life, right? And John says he is life. You know, there's no way life, right? And he's dispensing himself into us as life, right? We can gain this God. We can gain this God of resurrection. So, yeah, that word just really stuck out to me. And there was a couple of points under this Roman numeral that I really enjoyed. It's, I guess, B4, the primary purpose of suffering in this universe, particularly as it relates to the children of God, is that through it the very nature of God may be wrought into the nature of man, so that man may gain God to the fullest extent. You know? Yeah, I found this really encouraging, because, you know, when you come to resurrection, there also needs to be first the crucifixion, right? You know, the Lord wasn't just resurrected, he had to go to the cross, he had to die on the cross first. And it's the same thing for us, you know. On one hand, yes, we were crucified with the Lord on the cross, but also there's the daily aspect of crucifixion, you know. Daily we go through situations where our outer man is it's decaying, you know, it's kind of a breaking of our outer man, of our natural man. And this is necessary, you know. A lot of times, well, this is me, I sometimes, you know, you, if you see stuff like a situation where, you know, I'm gonna suffer, I'm just gonna, you know, do everything, you know, I can to avoid it. But, you know, sometimes when we go through these situations, it's necessary to break our outer man. Why? So we can die. You know, there's a sentence in the Bible. It said, Jesus, in the positive sense, the most positive sense, is always killing us, right? But praise the Lord. The Lord, he has that killing factor, right? And for our old man, right, our natural man. Why? So we can experience resurrection. We can experience him as the God of resurrection. And, you know, the resurrection of life. Praise the Lord. And, you know, as we pass through these afflictions, a continual renewing needs to take place in us day by day, you know, so that God can accomplish his heart's desire to make us the new Jerusalem. You know, it's a new Jerusalem, right? It's not just Jerusalem or old Jerusalem. No, the Lord's after the new Jerusalem. So we need to be renewed. And how do we be renewed? There's a song we sang yesterday in a young people's meeting. It's, every time, you know, I turn and open up, right, I drink of you, right? And that's under C too. In order to receive the renewing capacity of the divine life and resurrection, we need to contact God, open ourselves up to him, and let him come into us to be a new addition into us, day by day. Right? And it talks about we have a lot of provisions, right? We're renewed by the cross, the Holy Spirit, you know, our mingled spirit, and the Word. So, amen. And then, there's also a point, you know, where it's talking about dealing with our natural strength and our ability. And it gave out the two examples in Moses and Peter. And you see, Moses, you know, he had to spend time with the Lord 40 years. It took him 40 years, you know, for him to you know, where the Lord kind of showed him how to deny himself, right? How to learn not to rely on his own ability. And then you have the example of Peter who failed a lot. You know, I was just thinking about, in our daily experiences, no matter how you know, what our failure is, how often we do it, I mean, you can't really top, you know, denying the Lord three times. And it's kind of like to his face, too. And, you know, but that's how Peter learned. That's how Peter, you know, he was very, I guess he had what's the term? I guess he had a high opinion of himself. You know, he trusted a lot in his natural ability. And he through that failure, that's how the Lord really broke him. That's how the Lord really dealt with him. So, amen. Praise the Lord for the God of resurrection. You know, I feel like we need to know, you know, we need to experience, and we need to gain this God of resurrection. And, you know, how do we do that? We just need to stay open to him, right? Amen. Learn to spend time with him. Amen. So, I guess how much, is there a time limit? I'm going to open it up for everyone to share. Is there a time limit? 1 minute, 2 minutes? 2 minutes? 1 minute? 90 seconds.
Amen. I really enjoy the title. It says "Living in Resurrection." Actually, these two phrases is almost an oxymoron, because living means you're living and you're not dead, and resurrection implies what? You're already dead, right? So, in order to experience the resurrection, why do we emphasize resurrection? Why not just say living in the Lord? Why living in resurrection? It's because for us to have the proper living, or you can say the proper living in resurrection, we must first die. Yeah. And that's the point Joe has been stressing in this introduction. Actually, many times throughout the whole Bible, every person that God calls, we see that they have to die first. Again and again and again and again and again. In case they didn't realize it, they need to die again. Because we always forget that, hey, I can live, right, in my old self.
Yeah.
That's called living. But God does not want that. to serve him. He wants somebody who's living in resurrection. So just like Moses, he needs to put that guy to death for 40 years. You can imagine, you know, 40 years in the wilderness shepherding sheep. Not the most glorious job on earth. And it was mentioned for two verses, which means not much happened during that time. And, you know, Moses, he's a really smart guy. He said he was powerful in his words and strong in his strength. So this guy, he's very competent. But God didn't want to use his natural strength. Instead, he took all that training that's in the world, and he killed it for 40 years for Moses to truly realize and see at the end the picture that of who he is. He saw God's calling in the burning thorn bush, right? So for us to see the God of resurrection, we have to see that first we're just a bunch of thorn bushes. For us to be, we're only good for basically putting to death and burning up. Once we see that, we know that we need to be put to death, which is the cutting off of the flesh. When God crucifies us, then we have the opportunity to experience Him in resurrection. Many times in our experience, we might ask, Lord, why do you delay? Can't you tell I'm dying here? Like, I'm in a tough situation. I really don't want to be here right now. Can you just helicopter lift me up? But the Lord, He seems to just dilly and dally. That's because He's waiting, just like Lazarus, for us to fully die. Then He can come and resurrect us. When He brings us up, then we have the real living, which is the living in resurrection.
I am going to support him in the excitement of plan that says, in order to live in resurrection, we must be renewed day by day by being nourished with the fresh supply of the resurrection life. And further on, we are renewed by the cross, the Holy Spirit, all mangled spirits, and the Word of God. And we need to be revived every morning. In the morning nourishment, it tells us God's intention is for us to be renewed day by day. In order to be renewed, we need the new addition of God in thought daily. Daily, we need to contact God, open ourselves up to Him, and let Him come into us to be a new addition into us day by day. When God is added into us, He does not just remain there doing nothing. God is operating within us. God is operating in us, energizing in us. And in this divine element, there is the renewing capacity. Friends, we need to enjoy the renewing capacity of the divine life in resurrection day by day.
This is part of the message too, as the outline of day 5. Actually, it actually comes down from the last point in day 4. As we pass through afflictions, a continual renewing needs to take place in us day by day, so that God can accomplish His heart's desire to make us a new Jerusalem. Sometimes when I heard faith praying, Lord, remove all the sufferings. Lord, remove all the afflictions. Now I found it a little hard to say amen to that. Because I have to say, honestly, that's part of life. That's what we have to go through every day. If the Lord loves us, He's not going to remove all of them. He's going to be with us. But how can we pass through those? By gaining Christ. It's really up to how we know God's plan. If we know through those afflictions, that's how God would accomplish His first desire, and we'll just be open to Him. And then we would pray, say, Lord, don't let me go through this in vain. Lord, I want to gain You. I want You to gain what You want to gain, you know, in me by letting me go through this. And then, so they try. I'm really touched by this point. The real Christian life is to have the God of resurrection added into us morning and evening and day by day. I'm just like, oh Lord, how often we're not actually living a real Christian life. And we can go days and weeks without enjoying Him, without having the His newness added to us. We're just living by ourselves. I want to say, Lord, I want to live a real Christian life. And if you really enjoy the Lord, I sometimes felt like, just by enjoying Him morning and evening, probably not enough. Sometimes I need to enjoy, I feel like I really need to enjoy Him even in the middle of the day. I don't know, sometimes your work can be very hard, your situations can be very hard. I feel like if I don't turn to the Lord now at that moment, I don't think I can live through the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, praise the Lord, right? I mean, that's how He wants us to be. He wants us to enjoy Him moment by moment.
Yeah.
So, of course, we need to be revived every morning. That's why morning revival is so important. Ethan, you are so blessed. When I can drive you, I'll drive you. I think there's many days where I feel like I either forget to touch the Lord or just feel like, oh, I can get through this without the Lord. But wow, like when we really lose faith in ourselves and lose trust in ourselves and really learn to trust in the Lord, like that's when you know that, you know, because without the Lord, you feel like you can't live a day, right? So then reminds me of Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So, you know, we die, we're crucified, we're dead in ourselves, but we have this life of the Lord in us. And actually, you know, like what Sister Ruth said earlier about just day by day, moment by moment, just it's being renewed and nourished with the fresh supply of the resurrection life. Like, it's not a small thing, actually. And I don't know, based on what you've been sharing earlier, Sister Ruth sharing, like, I remember when I was living at Sister Ruth's house for a month, like, she'd drive me to school. And every morning, we would pray. Like, just call on the Lord and pray. And I was like, wow. Like, that was so refreshing just to, even though it was like, what, 5-10 minutes just to get to campus. But I don't know, it was just really enjoyable just to be able to enjoy the Lord in the morning. And then, you know, it's easier throughout the day to really turn back to your spirit because, you know, you give him the first place and hopefully, you know, not just in the morning, but throughout the day too.
On day 4 it says that, something like, the leading God is something that we pray. And then, you know, like no offerings are not absorbed, do not delay. I know that you can finish this for me, you can complete this for me, you can do this for me. But actually, it's so often that, you know, God completed something for us that we actually didn't hear about at all. So, just like Joe shared about, you know, God of resurrection, it's like, you know, we really need to be renewed so that the Lord can be added to us. So, day 5, there are like these 4 important provisions that God gave to us. The first one is cross, and the second one is the Holy Spirit, and the third one is our spirit, and the fourth one is the Word. So, you know, I appreciate that. Actually, this should be a daily cycle, or, you know, moment-by-moment cycle, so that we can experience it, you know, just like Ruth shared, the real Christian life is to have God added into us, morning and evening, and day by day. So it's not just like, you know, when I was young, I always thought that, you know, God only takes care of big things. He only cares about big things, not small things. But actually, you know, even our daily life, you know, when we get a bad grade, you know, we are frustrated at work or, you know, whatever, we just need to turn to the Lord. And sometimes we pray to the Lord, but we actually don't have the feeling that God is talking to us. I think most likely is that we actually don't have the Word to talk to us. So, you know, I think, you know, on the one hand, we need to exercise our spirit, but on the other hand, we also need to read the Word day by day so that He can renew us.
I'm very enjoying on day 3. Okay, can't raise us up together with Him and sit us together with Him and in the habit of being Christ Jesus. And I had a situation, I was so frustrated. I was literally, you know, like, to beat up, you know, I would say, okay, forget it. You know, all this
times that I made a church life. I was studying all the Bible. But when the situation comes, I was totally defeated. However, the next day is another day I revived. Because I listened to the message saying, you know, how can we be in Christ? Very simple. It's going to lay our hands on the head of the Lamb of God. Every morning we have to come to unite with Him. How can I come to unite with Him? I have to use Him as my sin offering. Okay, first when I come to Him, I have to offer Christ as my sin offering. I unite with Him, then He takes care of the rest of it. Right. Everything will be with Him. Without Him, we cannot experience anything. We cannot experience His resurrection. We cannot experience His ascending. He's so glory. He raised us up with Him. What else can be let me, kind of be down on the earth? It's like, crying out loud. So, after all this, I was like, oh, this is another day. It's a bright day. I can every day exercise myself just to be united with Him. Lay my hand on the head of the Lamb of God.
Amen.
I enjoy the year. The words that indeed we ourselves had the response of that in ourselves. That we should not base our confidence on ourselves but on God who raises the dead. But I also enjoy that when I first see this verse, actually the day before that day is like I'm kind of defeated by the situation. And for the new year, we made a lot of goals, like, read the lifestyle and study every day, and get up at whatever time, and have morning revival. And I feel like we can do this exercise. We can pursue the Lord apart from Him. We can pursue the Lord based on our confidence, based on our natural life and natural strength. So I just, Lord, just like Peter has a lot of confidence of himself. So just pray to Lord, we need to unite with you and use our spirit and live in this resurrection life, even when we are pursuing you. Amen.
Amen. I was praying titled Living in Resurrection for the Reality of the Body of Christ. Then John 11:25 came into my mind. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. When we were regenerated, the life we receive is the resurrection life, is the resurrection life, is the resurrection. Actually, the way the resurrection one now is in our spirit. This message is very hard for me, but the way actually is very simple. That's to turn to our spirit. Because the resurrection life is in our spirit. We need to turn to our spirit, stay in our spirit. When we turn to our spirit, the death of Christ is applied to us. And we can experience the resurrection. So the best way for me to turn to the spirit is to talk to the Lord. That's when I was in the lab, trying to solve some problems. But I spent hours of solving a problem. You didn't work it out. I began to complain. But this time I convinced the Lord. Lord, you make this in a mess. I spent hours, but I didn't work this out. If I work it out, I can spend some time reading the Bible, reading the message. But no, you didn't give me the vision. Just by this talking to the Lord, it reminded me of a message from the winter training. Praise Him. Amen. In whatever situations, praise Him.
Amen.
So I begin to praise the Lord. Lord, praise you. Amen. So I didn't walk out of this program, I still praise you, Lord.
Amen.
So by this praises and by this talking, Lord, bring me to the spirits.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Also, I want to share words with you. In this way, Paul, in Philippians 3, 10 and 11, Paul prayed, know Him and the power of His resurrection. and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. I don't know why Paul prayed in this way, because to know him and the power of his resurrections. The power of his resurrections. So I turned to Basilisk's ministry book, and I put the answer there. It said that the dual life in us which we received as our regeneration is the resurrected life. It is the consummated triune God. You are the power that raised the Christ from the dead. So, the resurrection life is very powerful. You will raise the Christ from the dead. So, many times we say we are in a death situation, but do you think your death situation is you compared to the Christ's death? Oh, Lord. Oh, may we know the resurrection, the power of the resurrection life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Because of time, maybe only like one or two more people.
I enjoy this too much, so I want to share a little bit. I enjoy this title, Living in Resurrection for the Reality of the Body of Christ. You know, the Lord's heart desire is this body of Christ. So, in order for us to have this reality, we need to live in the resurrection. And so this is connected to my sharing earlier, that the reality of the body of Christ is actually the church life. Yesterday in young people's meeting, we read 1 John 4, right, talking about we need to love one another. I remember last Saturday's sexual blending. The brother, toward the end of the meeting, he shared to us his burden too. He said, this year, one of the things he wanted to share to us is we love one another. And how we can love one another is not through our mutual love, but it's the love is. Should be very critical. Inwardly, usually we lack the love, or our love. I think that our love at least have two aspects. One is inward. We need in our inward part, we really love someone, but we very often we lack of this love. We could be, outwardly look like we love each other, but inwardly we don't. We do something, we say hello, I help you this or that, but inwardly I probably don't have the real love that brothers exist. But on the other hand, sometimes inwardly we have this love, but outwardly we don't know how to express, outwardly we don't know how to act out. So brothers, sisters don't know we really love one another, we really love each other. So we really need the Lord, and really need to live this resurrection. I really have heard that this year we need to blend more, because blending is the way to carry out this mutual love. So blend, on one hand, that means we need to come together, right? The hourly we have some expression. But blending also have an element that's important, that is God himself will be blending to us. So this is if I have a New Year resurrection, and I really want to blend you more this year, I will share with Sister Finn. I hope you will invite more saints to our house this year. From the youngest to the oldest, hopefully we have more blending. And we can, and this church life, on one hand, when we live in resurrection, we will have the reality of the body of Christ. On the other hand, if we come together, then it will help us to live in this resurrection. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
what God
focuses on. I'll jump in the last, because there's a word that says the last time first. Anyways,
I'll just go ahead then. I was just going to touch my word, day 5. It says, in order to live in resurrection, we must be renewed day by being nourished with the fresh supply of the resurrection life.
Amen.
Amen. And that kind of coincides with my Bible reading from Ephesians. I'm just going to read Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 from verse 18. It says, for through him we both have access in one spirit unto the Father. And verse 19 says, so then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
Amen.
So you see that from verse 18, right? We have access in one spirit unto the Father.
Amen.
So the way we are being nourished is what? It's by truth. It's through the Spirit.
Right.
Amen. And verse 19, so with this nourishment, right, as we come into the kingdom of God, well, we are no longer strangers. Alright, and his word also says that let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
So, like, we are encouraged, right? Because, well, we are fellow citizens, right? So, being an American citizen, you have civil rights, you have liberties, all this kind of stuff, right? But we are fellow citizens of Christ,
Amen.
Of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And I think Philippians 3:20 also says that our citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
Right, so we are citizens of heaven. We have civil rights as household of God, as fellow citizens, and with the saints and members of the household of God. So I just want to encourage us today that let us just come boldly to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Amen. Because we are citizens of heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, this week kind of what struck me, in reading some of the passages and listening to the sharing, what God desires is something really inward. But we live in a very outward world. And much of our pursuit is things outward. But all these outward things affect us. So they affect our feelings, our mood, but they also affect our ability to pursue Him. So what I mean by that is, we all can go through suffering. This can be something outward, right? We're constantly being bombarded by different things at work, at school, different demands. It starts from the time that kids are young, right? And especially in this society, everything, they're so programmed, they have to do this, they have to do this, they have to learn this. And then it goes through school, you have to do well in school, and then you have to get out, you have to get a job, you have to get good jobs, and then all these things, you're being bombarded. So these are everything on the outside, right? And then if we don't get what we think we want, it becomes like a suffering to us. Because you had some aspiration, you didn't get it. But we all go through this. Every human being on this earth goes through this, right? In different degrees, some small, some large. But yet, when we go through these sufferings, and we go through all these trials and tribulations in life, if we don't turn to Him, we just experience the suffering. But if we turn to Him, it can actually work out to a measure of glory. So the first lesson, that I sensed, reading this week is, the first thing is we really just have to turn. If there's no turning, there is no salvation. There's no chance for the resurrection life to save us. So we all go through everything outwardly, but there's nothing inward. We just went through the emotion. Right? Something upset us, so we got upset that day. Someone said something to us, and that upset us. Then you just went through that. But if we didn't turn at that time, or at least turn when the sensation is brought to us, we lose that potential to measure of glory. But turning is good, but it's not necessarily so long. Because we turn, and then a few moments later, I forgot. Because now I'm bombarded by another thought. Something else happened to me. So the second thing that really touched me is we really need some measure in the Word.
Amen.
Because without the Word, then the turning is a breath of fresh air. But, you know, just like Ethan's example, you know, you may have really tried in the car, but then without something sustaining you, then as the day progresses, we just forget everything. But the word becomes a sustenance to us. And the word actually helped us to turn. Because now we remember something. The Lord reminds us through the word. And then lastly, the thing that really touched me this week, I was thinking, is the table. We really need to appreciate and need to enjoy and come into the reality of the table. Because when we come into the reality of the table, then we have fellowship. And this fellowship can cause us to be built together. So when I look back even, you know, when I look at, you know, my experience, when you go through highs and lows, we always have to have some measure of these three things: turning, the word, and the table. And sometimes we don't have enough strength for one or any one of the three. But we have to have one, at least one of the three. Because if we don't have any one of the three, then we are really dead. So sometimes you don't have enough energy to turn even. Sometimes you don't have enough energy to come to the word. But maybe there's enough energy to drag yourself to the meeting. So then drag yourself to the meeting and enjoy the Lord and turn at the time when you're at the table. And then sometimes you can't make it to the meeting. Really, there's something too busy, something's happening in your life. Well, during those times, you still have to turn and then be in the word. So all these things can really sustain us, and then we can really appreciate and experience the resurrection life.
There's one paragraph in this week's reading. Actually, I just want to read one sentence from this paragraph. This is under day four. Well, he's asking, is there some renewing going on with us, or are we remaining the same day by day and year after year? I'll just finish the paragraph. It would be tragic if we would pass through many sufferings and still remain the same. In order to consummate his renewing work in us and with us, God becomes our life and nature within. In addition to this, God, as a sovereign Lord, controls the entire universe. Realize that the whole universe is under his control.
Amen.
All the situations, all our environments, he's in control. What is it for? It's to renew us.
Amen.
God uses the environment in order to work his life and nature into us.
Amen.
Without the environment, we could never be renewed.
Amen.
We would remain the same.
Amen.
If you ask me, what is my greatest fear? One of my greatest fears. That would be to remain the same. I don't know what your impression is when you read such a sentence. Are we remaining the same day by day and year after year? That would be a tragedy if we could go on so long in our Christian life and yet our inner man does not become renewed. I know I don't want that to happen to me, to my family, to all of you. And so this week we heard that the Lord sometimes allows us to fail, puts us in certain kind of situations, causes us to suffer, so that we can experience the God of resurrection,
Amen.
So that we can live in the reality of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Well, you know, this is also, you know, at a certain time we probably should stop speaking about this, but still, we still need to share this, that this is a new year. I don't know if we still can say this in February, but February is not here yet. We're still in January. First month of the year. And so, you know, we really want to, you know, I read that sentence because I hope, you know, we really have the aspiration that we would not remain the same
Amen.
Year after year.
Amen.
Right, this is 2015. It's a brand new year. We should have certain aspirations. You know, the world does this. I was having a conversation with actually Sister Judy. She was really excited. She's like, you know, Planet Fitness,
they cut down the, was it the first time enrollment fee? What do you call that? It's just joiner's fee, right? So initiation fee. And I don't know this. Actually, that's not the only gym. A lot of gyms do that. In January, the first month of the year, it's free. They're like, come and join. So actually, we're at the YMCA, and I just realized they also cut their fees. I was like, man, I should have joined in January. Why do they do that? Because everybody in the new year, they have aspirations. Like, I got to get in shape, you know? Away from that winter slumber to, you know, work out, to get fit. But many times, actually, you know, even with the gym, over, you know, I hear that in the beginning, right? Is it true, Joe? Like, January, February, so many people in the gym. And they come April, May, October, a huge slump, right? The aspirations don't cut it. You know, in the same way, actually, in our Christian life, we have to realize aspirations only take us to a certain point. It cannot sustain us to the end. We all have aspirations. You know, Lord, I want to finish the New Testament this semester, right? Lord, I want to read 2 life studies a week. But we have to realize that actually in our natural strength, we can't do anything. And the only way, and I really appreciate this point in Exodus, is that Jehovah, He's the provision for God's people. He is the supply for God's people to leave Egypt. Right? We see that in the picture of the Passover. It's not just the blood was, you know, on the doorpost. But He was actually the Passover lamb. It's actually more crucial that the people went into the houses and partook of the Passover lamb so they could have the strength to leave Egypt. You know, you could be saved hourly, judicially, right? The angel of death passes over you. But what if you miss that Passover feast? You're stuck in Egypt. You're stuck in the world while God's people, they're making the Exodus. And what about in the wilderness? You know, 40 years, nothing but manna, right? God's provision, again, was there. And I appreciate after our sister sharing, you know, manna doesn't just fall into your mouth in the morning, right? There's some effort, there's some work, you need to labor, right? So that we can prepare a meal offering that satisfies God. So this year, brothers and sisters, we have a lot of aspirations, but may we really turn to the Lord and depend on Him and eat ourselves out of Egypt. And not just to rely on good intentions. But it really starts with our cooperation, whether or not we really have some transactions with the Lord to give any of our aspirations to Him and ask Him to be the willing and the working to carry this out in our lives. And so I just want to go over a few things that we mentioned. The first point is to have a healthy diet. Right. Again, this is concerning our eating. Eating of the Word, we should aspire, at least as Christians, to finish either the New Testament or Old Testament once a year. Right? That's just normal, to eat every day. And then this year, of course, the church, actually, as a whole, we're entering into this practice. 2 life study messages a week. And we encourage all the saints, you know, because, you know, whenever we come together corporately, we might use some time to fellowship our enjoyment. It might be worthwhile for your time to start again in Exodus chapter 1 this coming week. I know this is what I'm going to do, even though we've already had many restarts. But again, so we can synchronize our schedules. But if this is too much, you know, just go on right ahead where your schedule is. And then we want to encourage the saints, again, to practice the spiritual companions. Actually, you know, to participate in the healthy diet, it's a strengthening to do this together. You know, when Esther and I, when we don't have people come over to our house, we eat like leftovers or we don't we don't cook at all. But when people come over, dang, we prepare such a feast, or hopefully it's a feast. And it's enjoyable. And so what that means is, A, you need to come over to our house more often so I can get a good meal. Or B, you know, spiritually speaking, we need to eat with one another. You know, the life studies would be so much more enjoyable if you could fellowship with one another and read with one another. So spiritual companionship is very key. And we need to be revived every day, every morning, right? Experience a new revival. Participate in at least one practical church service. Our sister sent out an email this past week about the bread making. I don't know if anybody responded to you, Sister Ruth, but I hope. At least three. Amen. You know, the church always need practical services, right? And for the saints, you know, grasp every opportunity. Don't think you're too young or don't think you're too old. You all need to serve. And then finally, one thing that we also want to emphasize is the matter of the attendance of the prayer meeting. This is one of the goals that we did not, besides, actually, the other thing we didn't meet was the number of being saved. But last year, in 2014, we noticed that the number in the prayer meeting was very low. And so we just want to encourage the saints to participate in the prayer meeting of the church. That's where actually the Lord can really move. Actually, that's how He moves, is through the prayer meeting. Especially even the young people. Your portion is very needed. I could just testify to you. Like, when I'm in a prayer meeting and I see a young person just walk into the room, I don't know how the rest of the saints felt in that meeting, but my spirit was uplifted. I joke you not. So, if you just appear, even if you just come to my house, you strengthen me, brother. You need to realize that you have a portion, and if you can open your mouth and just pray one sentence, actually, it's an uplifting to all the saints. So I hope, you know, at least we can have a third of the Lord's Table meeting attendance present at the prayer meetings of the church.
Amen.
So that this year the Lord could really move in Piscataway in our prayers. I don't know if any of the other brothers want to add anything.
So why people work? Do you guys go to prayer meeting with your parents or just don't go? It's okay if you just say you don't go. What? Not now, you don't go with your parents. Okay. Because if you guys need rides, you know, we could establish getting you guys. I know you guys don't drive, so you can't, unless your parents are going to take you. And sometimes it might be a burden for some of your parents, because they probably go to, you know, another prayer meeting, but maybe you want to join an English-speaking prayer meeting. So, we'll be thoughtful about that. Try to get you all there. So I think that's one big thing that you guys don't drive. So how are you going to get there? So 55, right? Total is 55. So I was thinking that we should have a number of that 55, maybe 5. What do you all feel? 10?
Cool.
All right. She upped the ante. Huh?
Including young people. Actually, including young people, we should have 12.
Amen. But I mean, like, new.
Right.
So maybe 5 addition to those ones that are going to get baptized. So that includes us preaching gospel to our friends, young people, workmates, college students, if you have, you know, some unbelievers, anybody. So we should contribute to this number and not just leave it to all the other districts. So we should pray earnestly. This reminded me of something in my reading I want to share really quick about fruit bearing. Brother Kyle mentioned it, reminded me of something I read. And then I know we all want to leave, so be quick. All right, it says this is on
John chapter 15, it says, this is one thing, these verses reveal that fruit bearing has very much to do with our loving one another. So if we want to bear fruit, we, like Brother Kyle said, we need to really love one another, not just like outwardly, okay, I love God, hey, yeah, I invite him over, but really, like in our inner being, you need to really, you know, love one another. But also, I think Brother Kyle also mentioned, I thought it was really good, was sometimes we do, but now we don't know how to express it. So maybe we just work on these two things of just being before the Lord, to love the saints, and then also spending more time with one another so we can accomplish our goal of fruit bearing.
Oh Lord, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, bless the year. The coming year. Healthy appetite. In the word. Ministry. Oh Lord, fruit bearing. Do this, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
We have this year.
Amen.
We bring ourselves to you.
Amen.
We take up the burden.
Amen.
We bring your books.
Amen.
We bring you more.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, give you this new year.
Amen.
Keep us burning.
Amen.
Keep us eating.
Amen.
Bring us on.
Amen.
Bring out even this next week.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of the brothers, we're going to send out emails weekly with links to, like, direct link to the reading of the life study for that week. Also, to a link where you can just listen to the life study. So, if you know, if you're driving, you can't read, right? You can be read to. And so, they're all direct links. So, all you have to do is when you get that email, it's on your phone. You punch that in, and it'll get to you. Okay, so we're just, anyway, pray for us that we don't forget. We can send this out weekly.
There'll be a PDF so you can save it to your computer.